from NPR and Chicago Public Radio. This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, in for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Great show for you today. Thank you, everybody. Moby, the musician, will join us later to play our game, but first, just to allay any concerns you might have whenever Carl takes a week off, as millions of fans do worry, has he finally come to his senses and realized what this show is doing to his reputation? No. Not yet. Be at ease. He's got jury duty this week. Really. True facts. And Carl has promised that if he does get impaneled on a jury, he at least will allow the 11 other jurors to express their opinions before, as is his wont, he will simply announce the truth. So it is written, so let it be done. You can render your judgment or indicate your lack of it by calling us up. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Misty Butler from Salt Lake City.
Hey, Misty, how are you?
Great.
I love that name. Misty is a great name.
Thank you.
It is a cheerful and kind name. Are you cheerful and kind?
For the most part.
Right. Except when people start making those play Misty for me jokes again and again, right?
I've heard my share.
I can imagine. Misty, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe and also Esquire magazine, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Misty.
Next, say hello to a deputy editor and resident blogger for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hi, Misty.
And lastly, making his debut on our panel, it is the host of The Price is Right, Mr. Drew Carey is here.
Hello, Drew.
Thank you. Look at me, Misty. I'm as lonesome as a kitten up a tree.
She's never heard that one.
No.
Hey, can
no.
I ask you a question about Carl? If he's on the jury and somebody gets convicted, does he leave a message on their answer machine?
Yes, Bob won't be able to return your message for 20 to 30 years. It's the least he could do.
The least he could do.
Misty, you're going to play Who's Korva this time. Korva Coleman will reenact three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl Castle's voice, on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes.
All right. Here is your first quote.
Somebody, please make it stop.
That was Dana Milbank of the Washington Post. He was expressing the feelings we feel of millions after what much-anticipated event on Tuesday failed to change anything.
Oh, I forgot the state, but the primary.
The primary, yes. It was a primary. Can you remember where?
Massachusetts?
No.
Lower, to the left.
Why don't you tell her that they pandered by eating Philadelphia cheesesteak?
Yeah, that'll help.
How about Pennsylvania?
I want everybody to think about the last 6 weeks in the Democratic presidential campaign, the Jeremiah Wright videos, the Obama speech on race, the snipers in Bosnia who weren't. You know what difference all that made? Well, as the respected political analyst my grandmother used to say, bupkis. Clinton's margin was 10% 6 weeks ago. She won by 10% on Tuesday. So in the end, Hillary can't win the nomination, but Obama can't seem to beat her. Now, to Obamaniacs, Clinton is the vampire that can't be killed. Or, if you're on her side, she's a really effective and hard-working vampire. Who'll accomplish things. Obama supporters are upset. They're saying it would just be better and happier for everyone if their candidate were just allowed to win right now. Thank you. They've made the same appeal to the National League on behalf of the Chicago Cubs. Why take the nation through the unnecessary difficulty of competition?
You know, I object that you say we haven't learned anything in all this time, because we learned that a girl can bowl and shoot and knock back a shot.
You think so? No, I didn't say we hadn't learned anything. I said nothing had changed. But do you think... I mean, we've learned things that I'm going to be trying to erase from my brain with a wire brush through my ear.
I actually had forgotten about the Weather Underground.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back. Sorry if you're in the audience there, folks. Guy in the back row with the bag in his head. How you doing?
Yeah, they're pretty much core NPR listeners.
Aren't we at this point...
It's our prime demographic.
I mean, and I don't want to put this too strongly, but I think this captures the mood. Aren't we at this point praying for a quick death? I mean...
Are you kidding?
No.
This is hilarious.
You're enjoying this. You're enjoying this ongoing process.
Absolutely. It's this or Two and a Half Men. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. The best thing this has done is knock down the ratings on American Idol.
And now Indiana. Can you imagine what they're going to have to do in Indiana to pander? There's almost nothing to do in Indiana to pander. Drive a car really fast.
Yeah, I know. There's not a lot of obvious Indiana.
Take a road trip to Chicago.
I'm going to do what everyone in Indiana does. Get out!
All right, Misty, here is your second quote, and I will warn you now, it is surprisingly sensible.
We are in the midst of a crisis. If you can, use public transport.
Like I said, sensible, responsible. What's weird about it is that it was said by the spokesman for the Automobile Association of America. So what caused the nation's chief car advocate to recommend that people not drive so much?
The price of gasoline?
Of course, gas prices, yes. You may notice, the next time you pull into a gas station, a man in a business suit sitting behind a desk right there near the pumps. It's a new convenience offered by the oil companies. They're there to approve your loan before you fill the tank. Gas prices approached and in some places passed the $4 a gallon mark this week, just after ExxonMobil announced the biggest annual profit in the history of business in America. All right, not a lot of shareholders here, I see, okay. Consumer groups are suggesting modes of transportation that are less expensive than driving, such as hiring 8 footmen to carry you in a sedan chair, riding a sled pulled by polar bears, or buying and using the new Hyundai Kashgo, which is fueled by burning $100 bills.
You know, I live in Texas, and I was driving to work the other day, and I noticed the cars on either side of me were a Lamborghini and a Maserati, and I thought, this isn't hurting everybody.
No, that's clearly not true.
Yeah, as a rich game show host, I'm not feeling the effects.
Yes, I was about to say, has your full-time staff of chauffeurs mentioned any of this to you, Drew?
Why, they wouldn't dare. Or they would be sacked immediately.
The CBS footman.
Why Diego, you say? Why the long face? Nothing, sir, nothing.
Has a tear.
All right, Misty, here is your last quote.
I'm thrilled to be anywhere with high ratings.
So that was someone making a special appearance on NBC's Deal or No Deal. And you can't blame him because his own ratings hit a historic low the same week. Who was it?
President Bush.
President Bush, yes. This week, President Bush made another claim to his place in history. His disapproval ratings, the percentage of the population who think he is doing a bad job, reached 69%, the highest recorded in the history of modern polling. Yeah. So in reaction, maybe to try to get back in our good graces, maybe because he just has nothing left to lose, he's been doing some odd things, including supporting an Iraq veteran who was appearing on a game show. He made the first ever presidential cameo on NBC's Deal or No Deal. He's apparently also been inspired for his new economic stimulus package for the hurting economy. He's now going to encourage all Americans to go on game shows and try to win. Corva, how did Misty do in our quiz?
Well, Peter, Misty had 3 correct answers, so she's going to win Carl Castle's voice on her home answering machine.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Misty.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.